Welcome to the Innate Vitality Code podcast, your source of science-backed information and inspiration on holistic healing, building resilience, trauma recovery, and self-love. I'm your host, Dr. Andrea Pennington. I'm an integrative physician, acupuncturist, and positive psychology neuroscience nerd. For over 20 years, I've been healing and teaching in my wellness practice, in the media, on stages, and around the world, as part of my soul's mission to end suffering and raise the consciousness on the planet. This podcast does not provide medical advice or psychotherapy. Consult your healthcare provider before implementing what you hear on this show. Hello, hello, beautiful soul. How are you doing? Happy Monday. It is so, so good to see you here in the place to be, as we say. I am just back from a three-day meditation and contemplation retreat in the mountains of France. And it was actually a mind-filling experience. We had this amazing teacher, Trinle Rinpoche, who was helping us really dig deep into the Heart Sutra, Sutra du Cœur, and it was all about embodying like the most profound wisdom. And so what was super cool about it, I actually have a video that I'll share with you, is it was beautiful because he was actually bringing the translation from the Sanskrit and Tibetan and then into French. And of course, I'm like doing the translation for myself into English. But it was a really deep, deep learning experience. And I love being up in the mountains. If you've been watching me for a while, I've been heading up there a lot this year because I really missed having that experience last year while I was in America for an extended period. So anyway, I'm saying all of that to say it's Monday and I'm fired up. And it's interesting because I am a medical doctor and surgeon, for those of you who didn't know. I don't practice surgery, but I'm trained as such. But I also trained in traditional Chinese medicine. And one of the cool things that I discovered about Chinese medicine is that the way that the Chinese look at our ability to heal is there's this phrase that roughly translates into knowing how. And according to Chinese medicine, they say that our bodies intrinsically know how to return to a state of wholeness, vitality, and well-being. And when I started learning Chinese medicine, I was actually in my third year of medical school, and it was like mind blown, because I didn't grow up with an understanding of traditional Chinese medicine or any other health system like Ayurveda or Tibetan healing. But when I first started understanding that the Chinese had a more holistic approach to looking at health and vitality, it was an eye-opener, because I trained at, you know, a very highfalutin medical school in America, Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis, Missouri. And so, you know, there's kind of this bias, or at least there was this bias in America that, you know, if you get into one of these top-rated schools, you're getting the best education. And I definitely feel like I got an incredible education. But when I started studying Chinese medicine and understanding how they approach health and restoring vitality, I was like, I'm only getting a fraction in my traditional medical school. So let me give you an example. So in the traditional Chinese medical system, there's an understanding that energy is flowing through our bodies. And in Chinese medicine, we call the sort of system of circulation, it goes through these meridians or pathways. You know, you can kind of think of it as a superhighway. And these, you know, these 12 plus two other meridians that go down the body, they correspond to particular organs. Some of them are, you know, physical organs like your lung and your heart and your spleen. But they also correspond to things like our spirit gate, for example, things that also relate to emotions. And what's interesting about the Chinese medical system, and as it was being taught to us as medical doctors, when I went to UCLA, I got additional training in primary care and pain management. And the way that it was taught to physicians was to give us this kind of expanded perspective on how we take a history. So when you typically go to a doctor, and depending on what kind of health system you have, you may be getting anywhere from 4 to 8 minutes with that doctor, if you're lucky. And that's unfortunately in the American model. Sometimes it's more, but you know, it's generally a fast-paced thing where you've typically filled out like a health questionnaire and your doctor comes in with it, kind of looks it over, is looking kind of for red flags, for what might be wrong, or if you're there as a sick person during a sick visit, then it might be that they're, you know, specifically looking for what made you ill, right? So in the typical Western system, we are moving pretty quickly through that initial history taking and finding out what's led you to the state of health or ill health that you are. What's up, Shamini? But in the traditional Chinese medical system, we are actually looking at a biopsychosocial environmental perspective. We're doing a 360 degree kind of look at your health and your well-being, because in the Chinese system, there's an understanding or a knowing that you're not just some bag of symptoms. Your biology impacts your health and well-being all the way down to your DNA. So of course, yeah, we do a family history, but it's also the environment that you're in. Not just is there asbestos or mold, but also are you working with toxic people? You know, is it a stressful environment? So the psychological well-being is also accounted for when you're doing a history and finding out what's going on in a person's life according to the traditional Chinese medical system. So this biopsychosocial environmental thing means that we're looking at you as a holistic being, because you are. You're not, even though you might go to see an immunologist and a pediatrician and an endocrinologist, it's very separate when we specialize, but you are one whole being. So, and yes, as Shelley Thomas, one of our functional medicine coaches, says, we have unfortunately compartmentalized our health as almost being exclusively focused on our physiology to the exclusion of our spiritual and emotional needs. Yes. And so that's what I learned early on in my career. So, for example, when I, as a Western doctor, not today, but way back then, sat down with someone who had irritable bowel disease, for anyone who's never heard of IBD, it's not a pretty picture. Most people with irritable bowel find themselves either alternating between constipation and diarrhea, lots of pain, gas, bloating, and sometimes some insensitivities to certain foods, or certain foods just set them off. And when, you know, 20 years ago when I became a doctor, the medical literature, there wasn't like much to it. There was kind of a hint that stress could aggravate it and certain foods could aggravate it, but there was no sense of like what caused it. There was no like definitive, oh, it's caused by this gene or this exposure to a food or this infection, right? And what is interesting in the Chinese medical system is I started to recognize patterns that people with things like irritable bowel, chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, migraines, allergies, and asthma. I was starting to see these patterns that if they got stressed, their body showed it, including their skin with eczema and psoriasis and all of that. And so, okay, that's not really revolutionary. Like a lot of people know that when you're stressed, it leads to flare-ups of chronic conditions. But now, 20 years later, in my career as a physician, there's a whole lot of data. The clinical studies are now showing us that that stress that causes an acute flare-up, we get it. Maybe you go on vacation. Maybe you had a breakdown and you burnt out and you actually went off and stopped working for a while, and so your health got better. But what we now know is that the effects of that stress, particularly toxic stress, can alter your genes, your brain, your endocrine system, meaning the endocrine, which is the glands that send out hormones, which is linked to our neurology or our brains and our nerves. I really need to turn off this fan because it is just like, I'm not trying to have like a Hollywood hair moment over here. I'll be right back. Hilarious, right? Yeah. This is real. This is live on Facebook, baby. So anyway, all I'm saying is now we have so much more data that actually shows that the stress that we experience doesn't just cause short-term effects on our health, but it can cause a persistent dysregulation of so many systems in the body. Like the endocrine system. How many of you know what endocrine means? Come on, type on in. Yeah, Trevor, what can I say? It's been hot over here. It's not as hot as it was before, but yeah, it's been really hot here. So I'm trying to find the comment section. I would love for any of you who know what the endocrine system, name one thing in your endocrine system. Come on, y'all. Help a sister out. What's up, Rahima? Good to have you here. Endocrine system, anyone? So we know that stress impacts the endocrine, okay? Birgitte, what is it? You say you do know. Tell us. Tell us. Tell us one thing. One thing about the endocrine system that you know. Come on, guys. Surely, well, okay, then this is a shameful, no, a shameless plug for Dr. Juicy Jill. We are releasing at Innate Vitality a course that Dr. Juicy Jill will be leading about how to reclaim your juiciness, which is all about balancing your hormones, because the endocrine system is the system of glands throughout the body that produce hormones. And hormones are chemical messengers. And thank you, Shelley, for chiming in. And all of these chemical messengers, these hormones, like your thyroid hormone, most people think of like the sex hormones, like estrogen and testosterone. Yes, those are the basics, but all of these hormones have distant and persistent effects. So the thyroid, for example, it regulates mood, temperature, our energy levels, our ability to feel like we're energized and ready to go through the day. When the thyroid is too low, if you have a hypoactive, an underactive thyroid, then in addition to feeling tired, you might actually feel depressed, breakage of hair, skin, nails, like all of those things that normally keep us like jazzed up and, in the words of Juicy Jill, juicy, which my daughter says I should never ever say, but whatever. These hormones are what keep our body and our tissues active, healthy, and yes, juicy. So imagine then that the stress that you experience here, whether it's dealing with traffic on a day-to-day basis or raising a teenager who's now making faces at me because I said juicy. Or maybe it's you have the chronic stress of taking care of an aging parent. Like my dear sister is taking care of my mother who has advanced Alzheimer's. These stressors we know are going to impact us in the moment, but did you know that they can actually cause a dysregulation of even all the way down to your genes? And then if you consider that you may have experienced some sort of trauma or what they call an ACE, ACE, an adverse childhood experience. And that's not just big traumas like, you know, you witnessed somebody getting shot, or you were physically or sexually or emotionally abused. We're also talking about things like when children are moved a lot, you know, moving from schools or different cities. If you had a parent who was ill, if there was alcoholism in the home, these kinds of stressful experiences early in life can create a sort of toxic load that impact our brain, our endocrine system, our overall emotional regulation system, and all of that can actually lead to long-term problems. So much so that, like, clinical studies have shown that people who have a lot of these adverse childhood experiences have a shortened life by like 12 years. So they're ending up with autoimmune conditions, with obesity, with diabetes, with heart disease. And so I'm only bringing this up because so many of the coaches and healers and therapists and other light workers that are in my network are working with people who have experienced some sort of trauma in their past. And while I promote and recommend that you go down the pathway of seeing a therapist, like, studies have shown the earlier you see a therapist, especially if you have a child who's experienced some sort of traumatic event, including being teased or bullied or having a new sibling come into the household that might have taken more energy or time away from the parents, the sooner that they get to speak to a therapist, the better. Because the thing about our brains is that they are incredibly plastic, meaning they are malleable, they are changeable. And so even if we've experienced some sort of, you know, insult that has impacted our brain and changed its chemistry and wiring in that short period of time that that stress response is active, we can still recover from it. But children, as their brains are growing and developing, they're more susceptible to parts of their brain being damaged for the long haul. And I hesitate to use the word permanently because we know now that our brains are plastic. So this is where, you know, kind of the work that I do with running therapy workshops and retreats around the world and writing books is that when we start to reparent, or as our beautiful Jungian psychotherapist Ofkia says, if we can reparent and do some healing of that inner child, we can impact our present and our future. Because if you didn't get an opportunity to process whatever pain, drama, or trauma you experienced as a child, or even as a teenager or young adult, that inner child is still experiencing the stress of that, which means that the brain is still impacted by that. And we know now that for children who experience traumatic experiences that they didn't process, like, normally what happens if, you know, someone teases you or you get bad grades or you have to move and you go to a whole new neighborhood and it's very hard to fit in, ideally you would have a parent, a caregiver, a coach, an older sibling that can, like, hug you, hold you, and tell you it's going to be okay. Like, we literally need a compassionate figure to, like, hug and nurture us, to create that oxytocin bond. Oxytocin is another one of those hormones that gets released, and it makes us feel safe and secure, so that even though that experience is still scary or it hurts, the act of having that bonding experience can help the brain get back to normal. And so again, when I talk about Chinese medicine and that phrase that, again, loosely translates to knowing how, what we mean is that the body can adapt to stress. The body knows how to return to a state of wholeness and balance and well-being. We have an innate vitality code that allows us to, like, if we get knocked around by the storms of life, we can still return and be standing and whole. And in order for that to happen adequately, we need to build up a certain amount of resilience. And one of the best ways that we can help children and our adult selves to heal is by practicing compassion. And so we know that when children don't have a compassionate caregiver, if their traumatic experience happens early enough in life, there are parts of the brain that allow us normally to like soothe and calm ourselves down and be nice to ourselves, that there's a compassionate brain track. It doesn't get developed if you're under constant stress or the threat of abuse as a child. So there was some fascinating work. I talk about it in my book, I Love You, Me. There was fascinating work done by a British psychotherapist, and they did brain studies to recognize that parts of our brain that help us calm down and be present for ourselves, if they don't develop, we constantly feel like there's a threat. And when we constantly feel like there's a threat, that's when cortisol, you know, that stress hormone, is active. And it creates a whole cascade of other hormones that kick in. And that would be fine if we only had to deal with that stress for a short period of time and then it washed away. But when stress is ongoing, or you haven't processed it to tell your brain, it's okay, it's over, or maybe it's not over, I have to go back to school tomorrow, but at least I've got my big brother or my auntie or my parent who's gonna be there with me through this. If we don't have that compassionate processing, we may never get that stress response turned off. And what the data is showing is that these long-range effects of toxic stress impact our health and well-being into adulthood. And so one of the things that, yes, Shelley, one of the things that is scary is that people do tend to attract additional trauma. And this is something, Shelley, I'm glad you brought this up, because this was something that kind of freaked me out. Early on in my medical career, I happened to meet a woman at our wellness center in the Washington, D.C. area. And as we were talking about the stress that she was undergoing, when she was stressed, she got insomnia and she had eczema on her body that just broke out like crazy. And so at our wellness center, we were doing acupuncture to help the body's energy systems get back into balance. She was also doing psychotherapy with my mom. Sorry. Dr. P, as she was called. And then she was working with me on some other cognitive behavioral type stuff. And it was interesting because I remember putting in her acupuncture needles one day, and she said to me, like, you know, I'm really grateful that I'm doing these sessions with your mom, because I haven't been able to understand why these traumas keep happening. And this was a woman who unfortunately experienced sexual assault. It happened to her at university, and then it happened to her again as an adult working in Washington, D.C. And as I was just listening to her, she said, it's weird. It's like, why, you know, why would that happen a second time in my life? And, you know, I'm just being compassionate, putting in her needles. And then she said, she just stopped. And she said, wait a minute. And I was thinking maybe she had an answer for me. And she was like, oh my God, I completely blocked out of my mind that this happened when I was a child. And I was like, wait, what? Like, how is it that she's walking around with like a target on her head? And so this idea that you're talking about, Shelley, like from a medical standpoint, I can't point you to some clinical study or some data that explains how is it that someone who's experienced a type of trauma would end up experiencing and re-experiencing the same type of trauma. And I'm not even gonna get into that in today's video because we don't have the time. I know many of the people in our community could probably speak on that. But it is a little weird, right? Like, it's weird to think that we might be attracting more of that. And, you know, there are some people who say that it may be because we're unconsciously attracted to people like from our childhood, caregivers, because there's unfinished business. Like, for example, if you look at the work of Harville Hendrix, who wrote the book Getting the Love You Need or the Love You Want, and Giving the Love They Need. He also wrote a book for parents, wonderful work. But in his work about relationships and how we sometimes are attracted to people who embody the positive and negative characteristics of our caregivers, both male and female. So in Harville's terms, he says that we create an imago, an image. And Ofkia, I know you could talk about this in Jungian psychology terms, because there is this imago, imago dei, or dei, whatever the Latin is. But like, for example, many of us have an image of what God is in our head. Well, according to Harville Hendrix, he says that we all, as young people, create unconsciously an image of the ideal caregiver. And yes, Mona, it's as if we are unconsciously wired. And so it's as if something happened in childhood and we experienced a wounding or there's some unresolved challenges with a parent, for example. The way he describes it is we will unconsciously be drawn to someone who has those exact characteristics so that we could finally get that approval or finally, you know, resolve whatever that childhood wound was, which is pretty striking, because the therapists and psychotherapists that I've talked to since kind of say, yeah, they've seen this pattern over and over again, that we are unconsciously drawn to things. And okay, so what does this have to do with you and your potential challenges with allergies or autoimmune conditions? Well, it's an invitation for you to just explore and investigate and look to see if maybe, just maybe, there could be some unresolved, unprocessed drama or trauma that you need to look at so that you can finally start healing and rewiring the brain. Because again, the good news is we do have this thing called neuroplasticity. We know now that all the way up to the end of your life, eighth or ninth decade of life, you can still rewire and reshape your brain. So even if that stress response early in your life, or even just a few years ago, was constantly on and creating these new grooves in your brain that were creating either unhealthy behaviors or you were getting super triggered by the littlest things, we know now that if we go and we process those experiences through a number of different ways, and we know now that if we put in positive experiences through meditation, through journal writing, through being in community with safe people, there's a whole list of things in this book, this workbook here, we know that we can rewire and reshape our brains. So it's about reparenting the inner child if you need that. It's also about calling forth your own compassionate inner cheerleader when you need it. It's about looking at your beliefs and your self-talk, because the story you tell yourself about yourself is still telling the brain how it should respond and react to life. And all of that impacts your brain chemistry, your endocrine system, and your immune system. And I can finally, confidently say that the things that I was seeing so early in my medical career that I didn't have a textbook to go and understand. Now again, the Chinese had it all worked out, but I didn't have a way to like express this. But now we have so much clinical data that shows from everything from multiple sclerosis to Alzheimer's to allergies and asthma to lupus, like all of these conditions have a link in stress or toxic stress and trauma. So I just wanted to bring this to your attention, because for one, at Make Your Mark Global, while we are a publishing and branding agency, all of the books, all of the workshops that we're doing are meant to bring this kind of information, the newer therapies and methodologies that actually help to clear trauma, to help you recover and liberate your authentic self. They're now going to be tested so that we can start documenting what works. So we are calling for authors for a new book of mine, which is called Holistic Healing. And if you want to get in on that book, or you know a therapist or a healer who might have a method for getting past some of these health challenges, either treating the health challenge or dealing with the trauma that may have created it, then check out this link for this Holistic Healing book. I should just take this off. It's Health Co-Author, I think. Actually, I'm not even sure. Let me take this off the screen. I just copied and pasted that, and I think I got it wrong. What am I doing? Anyway, so look, if you know someone who needs to be in this book, who has a story to share, we'll share the link in the description. If you want to do some of this regression therapy, we are bringing forth some practitioners who do deep memory processing and regression therapy. The beautiful Ofkia Tekens from Holland. You may have seen that I was at her place with her lovely husband, Case, just a couple of weeks ago. We are bringing forth now, open to the general public, my life writing course. I'm teaming up with Ofkia to now expand and offer our life writing course, which is about narrative therapy, which is about really getting into understand what needs to be processed, including in your subconscious. And writing therapy is one of the things that works with healing trauma. Doesn't necessarily work all by itself, but for some people, it has been truly transformative. In fact, tomorrow evening, I will be sharing a little bit more about how your personal story can be transformative for you and for your clients. But I just wanted to just give you this insight, because it's been coming up as I'm reading some of the stories that are in our resilience book that is coming out in October, as I'm sitting down with other therapists and hearing the stories of transformation that are happening in their patients' lives, I realize that there are people that don't even know this information, and they just go to a doctor and they get a prescription for some kind of steroids or some kind of chemotherapy, and many of those treatments, many of the conventional treatments, are just masking. They're like putting a Band-Aid on, and they're not getting down to the root cause. And the distinction with Chinese medicine and other forms of medicine like Ayurveda and the Tibetan healing system is that the focus is on getting to the root cause, not putting a Band-Aid, not, you know, just treating symptoms, but actually finding out what is it in your body, your environment, your relationships, or your past, what's lurking in the subconscious maybe, that might be perpetuating or creating a sensitivity to illness and disease. Because that can be changed all the way down to the DNA level. All the way down to the DNA level. So for those of you that think, oh, well, you know, everybody in my family has this disease, so I'm bound to get it, that's not true. The study of epigenetics tells us that whether a gene gets turned on or not is impacted by our environment and our response to the environment. It's not just what is around you, it's your response to it. And so when we talk about building up resistance and resilience, these are things that are within your control, and it can actually impact your immune system, your DNA, and your brain. Empowering stuff, right? So I just want you to have this perspective. So if you happen to be a coach or a healer or a therapist, that you have an enlarged perspective to ask your clients maybe some pointed questions about their personal health history that they may not have shared otherwise because they're not used to it. And if you're a doctor or a therapist, I want you to be mindful that there are a number of ways, like most of us are not trained in psychology or psychotherapy, or digging into past trauma is not comfortable for everyone. So I want you to be aware of the other modalities that work. Because sometimes talk therapy isn't enough. if you're just resting in the brain and this sort of psychological or intellectual review of your life, that's not transformative or healing, which is why, again, we are presenting so many different healers and approaches, and it's why we're also now hosting these workshops. And as of this winter, we will now be testing some of these alternative therapies with brainwave monitoring, with heart math monitoring, and showing what happens when you go through meditation or when you go on a retreat. Like, how does it impact your DNA? These are the things that you will be seeing from us at Innate Vitality and Make Your Mark Global. Super excited about it. The nerd in me is rejoicing and going crazy. I love it. And yes, life stories can be very helpful. And Mona, I can't wait to share your work with the world as well. I'm so, so glad that you're finding this helpful. And Ankh-Spawn, yes, Minos. Ankh-Spawn, as we call it, or ankylosing spondylitis, is definitely one of those autoimmune conditions where we see that the body is attacking itself. Like, we know that these things are linked to stress. And so please stay tuned and stay with us so that if you need help, we can start plugging you into the resources and the practitioners that can help. And yes, Qigong and Tai Chi, the type of Qigong that I practice and I've practiced now since 2011 is called Jineng Qigong. It's a medical Qigong that I'm so grateful that I have now because it does move energy through the body without the use of needles. It works at a distance. And I have seen personally with my patients, with some of my friends and people at a distance, that moving energy or Qi can be transformative. So for those of you who are coming here to the French Riviera for some of my retreats, I'm going to be doing Qigong with you. So my friends, oh my goodness, 36 minutes. I've talked longer than I anticipated. I just wanted to connect with you. If you are interested in the books or, you know, any of these upcoming workshops, then just send me a message and I'll be sure to update this video with a link. So do share this with someone else that you know is struggling with a health challenge, or if it's a practitioner who has a revolutionary way of dealing with these things. We need to know about it because I want to eliminate the suffering that's going on this planet with people who are just stuck in the regular medical system and not getting the treatment that they need. Okay? All right, my friends, it has been a pleasure to connect with you. And until we meet again, please do remember that you are a gift to the world, so share your presence with passion. Much love.
Thank you for listening to the Innate Vitality Code podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend, rate the podcast, and subscribe. This helps me with getting my message out to a wider audience. For show notes and other episodes, visit innatevitality.com/podcast. That's vitality.com/podcast. You can also sign up for my free masterclass series. Each month, I take a deep dive into the topics of holistic healing, resilience, trauma recovery, and self-love. Just visit innatevitality.com.